This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. Today, we're going to discuss ecojustice and its expanding definitions and impacts. Beginning tomorrow, the 7th Annual Ecojustice and Activism Conference will begin on the Eastern Michigan University campus. Our guest this morning is going to be one of the presenters during the three-day conference. Dr. Charles Simmons is a professor emeritus of journalism and law at Eastern Michigan University. Additionally, he is founder and co-director of the Hush House Black Community Museum and Leadership Training Institute for Human Rights. Dr. Simmons, thank you so much for the time today. Much appreciated.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
When I first started having these environmental conversations over two decades ago, and we would bring up the term ecojustice, it was relatively new to the public vernacular, and it very specifically related to environmental issues, whether it be air quality, lead paints, or proximity to pollutants. And it is really starting to evolve into something much more than that, isn't it?
Correct. Speaking for myself, I started thinking about the environment in terms of covering the saving the whales and pollution in the distant places. I wasn't thinking, and I was living in California at the time, but I didn't realize that the environment also included urban issues, as you mentioned, lead paint and even indoor pollution. But it's evolved into looking at the animals, biological species that are very, very small, things that we can't see, as well as humans. And so it's looking at all living things we can save today.
Why is it important to include all living things instead of solely taking into consideration the quality of environment for the humans?
We're all interrelated. And if we see for instance, if the bumblebees die off, then that means there will be less insects to pollinate the vegetation that we need to eat. We see the water, the ice cap melting, and that's going to have tremendous impact on the rising water around the planet. And so we have to be concerned about every aspect of life and the inorganic types of activities that's going on, the climate. I mean, everything affects everybody. Now, we may not know the direct impact it's going to have on us, but we have to watch everything very carefully. We can't allow the bumblebees to disappear. And they're in a state of crisis. We're losing a lot of species of animals. So whatever affects the animals and what's happening under the ocean, as well as in the birds and the various types of airborne creatures, we have to be concerned about them because that will affect us too.
So if we look at the planet as a whole and all that it supports, and we look at it as one big ecosystem, where do the protections have to start seeing a significant difference in creating what would be called truly justice in our ecology?
We started home, and part of the theme of this conference is affection regarding slow violence. And this concept of slow violence is looking at things that don't appear in the media because they're not immediate and explosive. Things that happen over a long period of time. For instance, like I say, the damage to the bumblebees, for example. I mean, that's something that's not an immediate explosive event, but it's something that has an impact on people all over the planet eventually. So how do we turn this into a media or an educational event is the question that we're addressing. We want to be able to educate people about issues that affect us that are not in the media every day, but are very important. My suggestion is, in terms of this affection, is that we need to build bridges within the state of Michigan, for example, because many of us are experiencing the same type of environmental or ecological damage, but we don't work together. And I'm talking about at the grassroots level with the faith groups, these educational institutions, the community organizations, trade unions. How can we build bridges between people in Southeast Michigan and the West and people up north to share information about our mutual problems and to figure out how we can help each other? I had a problem in Detroit dealing with illegal dumping, for example.
Right.
And this was many years ago. And I didn't have any idea of what to do. And I got on the internet and contacted environmentalists all over the state. And many people said, well, people upstate aren't going to help us. They don't care about what's happening down here. But that wasn't true. We got support from people everywhere all over. Some actually came and helped us. Some sent information and resources. As with the situation in Flint right now, there are people from all over the state of Michigan, in fact, all around the country, who are giving support to the people there. And so that's how we have to think about it. Now, we can't just wait for the legislature to act or wait for the governor to do something. We have to think about how we can initiate form and initiate change from the ground up.
You are listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking eco-justice with Dr. Charles Simmons. Dr. Simmons will be among the presenters at the 7th Annual Eco-Justice Conference that begins tomorrow on the campus of Eastern Michigan University. And as you mentioned, this year's theme is called Practicing Affection in a Culture of Slow Violence. And you talked about you can't legislate all of these things away, that it really does have to come from a grassroots level. And so that old adage that you cannot legislate morality really comes into play here, doesn't it?
Correct. And we can't be concerned about these labels of whether, you know, people are conservative or liberal or which political party you belong to. We all have to have clean air and clean water. And if not, we won't survive. So we have to think about how can we have a good, a high quality of life for everybody throughout the state, throughout the region. And so even if you're living in a very wealthy community, you still have to breathe the same air that I'm breathing in a very poor community, and vice versa.
That's true to a degree, but if you look in areas like Detroit and Hamtramck, the air quality is significantly worse than it is in portions of northern Oakland County and northern Michigan. It's not quite the same air. And additionally, that is creating, we talk about divides and we have to avoid labels, but it is more impacting people of color than it is the white population in the state of Michigan and throughout the country because of geographic proximity to these pollutants.
That's true about an immediate impact, but when you look at long-term impacts, your location won't matter that much. For instance, with the rising water, we're experiencing not only erosion on the coastal parts of the United States, West Coast, East Coast, the quality of the water, the land is being submerged on the various coasts. Now, these are very wealthy communities. And look at California, where we had the landslides. There are wealthy people living in these houses overlooking the ocean. They're falling into the ocean. So it may not, each one of these issues may not impact everybody, but collectively, they all affect us either directly or indirectly. I recall we're looking at the incinerators in Detroit some years ago, and we had experts come in to testify about the quality of the air in various places and how it moves from one place to another. And one of the scientists said he had data about air in Detroit that had come, air pollution particles that had come from Brazil. And, you know, one Gary Mathai, who was a Nobel Prize winner in environmental justice about 10 years ago, she was showing the relationship between water systems in Central Africa and in the Great Lakes of Michigan. So there is a... It's true that in the immediate crisis may not be felt everywhere at the same time because of poverty or because of wealth. Overall, we have a global problem.
Our time together is running out, but I do want to ask this final question. As we have to look at this as one community on the planet, is there a message that could be unifying, given all the polarization of the different countries, the different states, and even the various communities within a given county? Is there a unifying message that you think you can tap into that might start to build the bridges that you talked about earlier?
And one of my themes in my presentation is I'm using a South African word called Ubuntu, which means I am because you are. I have to understand your humanity and in order to understand my own. And so we have to believe in the humanity of all of us in order to experience our own humanity. And so the sharing of humanity is the theme that I'm promoting. So wherever we live, we have to know that whatever happens somewhere else affects me. So I am my brother's keeper. whether my brother or my sister is.
Well, I thank you for the message today, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
That is Dr. Charles Simmons, founder and co-director of the Hush House Black Community Museum and Leadership Training Institute for Human Rights. He's also professor emeritus of journalism and law at Eastern Michigan University. Dr. Simmons will be one of the presenters at the 7th Annual Eco-Justice Conference that runs tomorrow through Saturday on the EMU campus. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.